Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello again, everybody. It's Saturday, August 18th. We are almost there. It is almost week one of the NFL season, which means it's almost week one of the fantasy football season. It's Dave and Dan, the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. We're sitting here doing a podcast in the Hartford version of the Man Room, and we're watching a little preseason football, Vikings-Jaguars.
Yeah, fourth quarter, there's no one.
Jaguars.
Yeah, that awesome defense that I picked up.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, he needs to shut up.
You think so?
I think so. Don't you?
I don't know if he needs to shut up, but you need to talk louder.
Okay, I'll talk louder.
I don't know if he needs to shut up. I loved what he said.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I liked what he was saying about the quarterbacks. The thing about Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the fact that when he got suspended one game.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No. I'm talking about what he was saying about the quarterbacks thing. It was perfect.
I didn't read that whole article. Oh. I just know he was saying...
He doesn't like your Andrew Luck.
Josh Allen's trash.
Yeah. Andrew Luck is just not that good. Or not Josh Allen. Andrew Luck, just not that good.
Yeah, well, I hope he's good. Because he's my top quarterback.
We missed you last week because we were busy getting ready for our fantasy football drafts. Last Saturday we had the CFFL draft.
Yep, it went well. Food was wonderful.
I crushed.
Don't want, let's not get crazy.
I'm looking championship this year.
Not in the CFFL.
No? And then this last Wednesday.
I thought you did well in the podcast.
I did well in the podcast league only because there ended up being apparently some misunderstanding about just technical errors.
I hear you.
Our executive producer had a problem apparently, and I didn't find out about that till later. He made a trade with me late in the day. I gave up the number 6 overall pick and Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, I was shocked that you gave up Deontay. I thought it would have been more like a couple picks or something.
No, I wanted my picks. So I gave up Deontay Foreman, the always hurt fat guy from Houston, and my number 6 pick for the number 2 overall pick. Because at number 6, I wasn't going to get Royce Freeman. Which I found out at Henry when we were at the bar that he said, no, you wouldn't have gotten Royce Freeman at 6.
No. And why would you want Royce Freeman?
Because he's going to be the starter. He's this year's Alvin Kamara.
So is Kerryon Johnson.
There were a lot of them. But so I made that pick, and then my pick at number 6 after I made the trade, or at number 7 because I had the 7th pick too, was going to be Darius Geis. Figuring I'll be able to get him there because, you know, he's hurt.
Right.
Well, turns out Wayne wanted him also at number 6, where he traded with me to get. But as with the way the website works, for some reason, as it happened in the CFFL league also, Darius Geis didn't show up in the list. Because I was searching when it was Wayne's pick, I was searching also. I'm like, okay, I got to find Geis because that's who I'm going to take at 7. And I couldn't find him. I'm like, oh, shit, here we go with this again. Well, I'm screwed. So I was looking for my second option. And then all of a sudden, Wayne made a pick, and it ended up being Mike Gesicki, the tight end.
Right, yep.
And as soon as that pick was made, Geis shows up on the draft list.
Well, and I think Wayne was like me. You could sort by on the website.
Yes.
By an ADP or player ranks or alphabetically.
I wonder if you sorted it by player ranks, if that's how Geis showed up.
He didn't show up, really, basically.
He didn't?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see him on my list.
Because he didn't show up under ADP. I don't know unless maybe under.
But I also found out, too, for some reason, the website, when you typed in somebody's name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Either if you didn't spell it completely, perfectly correct.
Right.
he didn't show up either. Or, you know, like, it wouldn't go to, like, you know, if you spelled Geis, G.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to spell it exactly the way they have it.
Right.
Because then I went and searched just running back, and that's when he showed up.
Yep, and I did that after a while, too.
But so, anyways, towards the end of the, we had a five-minute clock on there. So I figured, no one's going to go through the whole 5 minutes.
Well, and some people went.
We'll need to have people not show up at the draft. Have the clock just tick down 5 minutes, and then take the best player ADP.
We were talking before we started. I kind of agree with this age of technology that we have with the cell phones.
Right.
How can you? I mean, unless you're at a funeral.
Well, I know one team who texted me as I was walking into the bar.
Right.
Said, hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm stuck at a soccer game
right.
with his daughters. And apparently, he said the because I was texting him back and he was never getting back to me.
Oh, was the
cell service was
terrible.
And then because it was at school.
Right.
They were being blocked out of certain websites.
Ah.
So he couldn't make any draft picks at all.
Well, and I suppose our website with the naked pictures of women that we
have. Well, yeah, but we're not drafting off of that.
I know.
So, yeah, that's where we're at. It was a bad day, because then at the end of towards the end of the round, I'm like, okay, we're in the fourth out of five rounds.
Right.
I'm getting tired of waiting for everybody who's, like, signing off the website, doesn't have anybody left in their draft list.
Right.
Sitting there for 5 minutes after 5 minutes after 5 minutes waiting for a pick to be made. So I'm like, screw this. I'm turning the clock down to a minute 30.
Well, and I think the clock should be way below the 5 minutes. Well, no matter what.
5 minutes was a little too long. Minute 30 is a little too short.
Well, unless, and this is my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the fact that you said you were changing it to the minute 30.
So then.
And I was away from my phone at the time, so I didn't.
So you tried to make a pick. The third to last pick of the draft.
Right.
You trying to make a pick, and clock ran out and gave you Jermaine Kearse.
Who I no idea who that is.
So anyways, he got on your list, and then somebody else made a pick, and then the guy who wasn't even at the draft and couldn't get it.
Which is a story of my life when people aren't at drafts.
Yeah, they always get the player you want.
Always. I mean, it goes back to Maurice Jones-Drew. The guy
that far back.
Yeah, the guy wasn't there, and yeah, we all. No. Yeah,
but sucks. Let's get this going. Shit happened. We tried. I tried to clean it up as much as I could, which caused more problems.
Which I apologize
for. I can't do anything about that.
Right.
Because.
Well, and no one's going to want to redraft anyway.
No.
No. I know you definitely don't.
No, I'm still in talks with the executive producer of this show.
Good.
So that's where we're at. Today's show, we got news and notes. We got a little say what?
Just
a couple of things. I changed up a little bit this week. And then we got a fantasy girl. And before the fantasy girl this week, I have one more thing.
Oh, ooh!
I actually pre-recorded it at the West Dallas Manor.
Wow!
So,
boy, we haven't done one of those
in a while. But our executive producer brought something up in his little notes to us, and I'm like, "This is completely wrong." So I corrected everything, and we did one more thing.
I cannot wait to hear.
last week we had our question of the week regarding Hall of Fame. And who's worthy of being there and who's not. So I have the results.
Ooh.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Did you even vote?
Oh, I think I did, yeah.
Okay.
It's been so long ago.
Junior Seau, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
60-40, no.
Really?
Yes. Randy Moss, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Definitely.
53-47.
No?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's crazy talk.
Ray Lewis, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Ray Lewis. Yes, definitely.
61-39, yes. And finally, Terrell Owens, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think yes.
63-37, no.
63, wow.
Yeah. There you go. Two for two, I was right on.
So how many times?
I mean, how many? Two for two, everybody else is wrong on.
As I say, how many times did you vote no?
I only voted once.
Okay,
that's all I need to vote.
Just checking.
I know I'm right. Just because you got.
Was there a special little star beside when you
were my answers?
Or did your answers count for more percentages? Or?
Mine counts for two. No, I get a one vote just like everybody else. This is in Chicago, for Christ's sake.
Okay, let's not get political.
Anyways, with that, check out the website, mycffl.com. Mycffl.com. Everything we talk about. I'll have the links for all the news and notes. I have the board up there for Beat the Hosts. We're still looking for contestants for this year's Beat the Hosts. Feel free to email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or
dan@strat1971@yahoo.com.
Simple email saying, hey, I want to be in Beat the Host. Send me your name, your phone number, and your email. Well, I'll have your email address either way. We'll get you in the group. You win great prizes if you can beat the host at some fantasy football stuff. Also, questions, comments, concerns. Same email, same thing. We're also going to start something else.
Oh,
we're going to start a little. What should we call it? An answering service line. You got comments or concerns?
Oh, that's right. We were.
You want to make some comments or concerns about what we're talking about the podcast,
or that I just suck, or
yeah, or that I just suck. Whatever you want to do, we have a hotline. And we'll play some of those phone calls.
And we promise, whatever you say, the whole thing will be played on air.
Yeah, no beeps because I don't know how to do that.
Right, exactly.
So
try to keep it somewhat clean.
So it is still a family show. Remember that? Little shit damn here and there.
Yeah.
We try and stay away from the F word.
Oh.
We try and stay away from racial slurs.
Definitely.
You know, and not a lot of sex talk.
Wow.
But, you know, you got something to say? We'll put it on the air for you. And... That phone number is 414-520-8249. 414-520-8249. Leave a message on the hotline.
Nice.
So now.
I cannot wait for this stuff.
You ready for the news and notes?
Yes.
Here we go. That's right. It's time for the news and notes. And you know what we have on news and notes? We have breaking news.
Breaking news.
So breaking that I'm going to skip ahead to the part where I was going to talk about it because it's kind of a long story. And that is Josh Gordon.
Ooh.
The news is he has returned to the team and he is at training camp.
So what his excuse?
Well, here's what I found out. They're continuing to work with the NFL to make sure that his health and well-being remain the top priorities. The story that scared me about the whole thing is that what his health and well-being problems? What treatment is he getting? What is the treatment for? Why didn't he undertake the situation well before training camp? You know, he's given up quite a bit of money by missing camp time right now.
Right.
So the news about the reason why Gordon is not with the team right now stems from a recent court order for him to pay $6,800 per month child support plus health insurance for his now 3-year-old daughter.
Oh.
Those payments were scheduled to start in August.
And I'm assuming this 3-year-old daughter he lives with and with his 3-year-old daughter.
Who knows?
Okay.
They're football players. The order came down on July 20th. And then on July 23rd, Gordon announced that he would not be at Browns training camp because of his health and overall treatment plan. On July 25th, he then asked the court to modify his child support order, stating that the court didn't take into consideration that he has another child to support and that he was currently not working. Gordon states that he wouldn't receive his first paycheck until the week of September 9th, if everything goes as planned. So the question was he missing camp and not reporting as a means of getting out of paying his child support? And is that the health maintenance that he was talking about?
Right. Because I think everybody was under the suspicion, or at least I was, that he was
failed a P test?
Yeah, or something to that effect.
You know what this means for all the guys out there, right? Don't go having kids with all kinds of different women if you can't afford or want to support them.
That's right.
There is no way I am taking Josh Gordon.
So do you think this whole thing, obviously, we had our draft,
right?
Like you said. Were you thinking Josh Gordon was going to go in the first round, which is technically...
Did he go in the first round?
No, he went in the second, the middle of the second.
Which is basically the middle of our fifth.
Right. But weren't you kind of expecting him
I thought that was a little high.
That he
went that early.
In the second, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you didn't know if he was even going to be on the team this year. You didn't know why he was out at the time we made had the draft last week. You didn't know why he was out. You didn't know how long he would be out. You don't know if he'd even be in a game.
So now, if we were doing the draft.
If we're doing draft, I still don't want him. I ain't the guy's trouble.
God, why couldn't you have done that the year that you drafted him in front of?
But that was an accident when I took Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, okay.
No, and here's the thing. I got another draft coming up on the 29th.
Yeah, I have.
I'm not touching Josh Gordon.
Well, okay, you're saying you're not touching
him? Not touching him at all.
Not if he falls?
Nope. Not at all. Don't
want him. For somebody that I know you don't want to, but if you had to speculate for the average person
out
there.
For the average person?
Where do you think you would draft Josh Gordon?
Ooh. Fourth, fifth round? Sixth round, maybe? We're talking a start over, right?
Right.
Yeah, fourth, fifth, or sixth.
Okay.
I'd have to think about that a little more, but yeah, not my team. Not the Pakistani power hammers. We're not taking Josh Gordon.
Can we also say, I mean, I know we're on news and notes, but can we also say, if anybody remembered last week's show, I think we have it on tape somewhere that Dave was going to take.
We do have it on tape.
Oh, yes, and that's in the Cheddarhead. You were going to draft.
Yes.
Your man.
My man.
Dak.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I was going to take him.
In the second round.
I was going to take him in the second round, but I couldn't because he has the same bye week as my guy.
Damn, that's a lucky.
Matt Ryan.
That's so lucky you came up with that.
No, I was going to, and then all of a sudden, I was going to draft him, and I looked, and I'm going, what bye week? Because I ran into that problem when Marcus Mariota came out.
But now let's be realistic.
I've already been talking with Henry in the Dynasty League.
Oh.
We're working on something. We got something in the works.
Oh, that's right. Henry's got him in.
Henry's got Dak in Dynasty League. We're looking at things. I got my people talking with his people.
I should have showed up to the draft to make sure this was all on the up and up.
Well, anyways, on the last episode, speaking of that, we discussed the possibility of Doug Baldwin not being ready for the beginning of the season and quite possibly missing most of the season with his knee injury. The latest from Bent Nose Coach Carroll is that Doug Baldwin is no longer in danger of missing the regular season. Now, what that actually means is still up in the air.
Right.
Considering he continues to sit through training camp and continues to miss preseason games. And that would indicate something still isn't right.
Right. I'd stay away from Doug Baldwin, too.
Kind of like I'm staying away from Gordon?
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon?
Yes.
Despite the unbelievable outburst of the rest of his teammates on Hard Knocks, Jarvis Landry has become the go-to guy for quarterback Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, and I wanted Jarvis Landry on my team.
Corey Coleman traded away. Josh Gordon now in camp, but who knows when he's going to play. All the money being paid to Landry. He better be the number one guy on the team.
Right.
Because I drafted him in the CFL.
Do you still believe in the rumors of Dez Bryant going to Cleveland?
No. No, he was there and left without a deal, but he signed a Cleveland Browns helmet when he was at the airport. Did you see that?
No.
Yes. But I don't buy it. You're looking for a late-round tight end that just might, maybe I shouldn't do this, become the next star?
Uh-oh.
Rookie Mike Gesicki.
Uh-oh.
Might be that guy.
Who?
Head coach for the Dolphins, Adam Gase, is saying that even though he didn't stand out in the spring and had a slow start, Gesicki is playing fast.
Wow, because I was hearing...
Maybe Wayne shouldn't feel too bad about taking him in the first round.
Yeah, I think we should move on from that subject.
Remember, it was Gase who turned Julius Thomas into a fantasy wonder.
In Denver.
Yes, and it looks like Gesicki is going to be the number one target in the red zone. There are also reports that he may even get lined up as an outside receiver on someplace, kind of like a Jimmy Graham.
Who looks good.
He looks big.
He's a
big... I didn't realize how tall that guy was.
I saw him live and in person at training camp practice, and yeah. Oh my Lord.
Really?
He's a big man.
Rookie running back Sony Michel is going to miss the rest of training camp and possibly a little bit into the start of the regular season after he underwent a procedure on his knee. And no, it's not like that procedure we saw on Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo-hoo. He had just missed the last 10 or so days after having fluid drained from his knee, much like the guy on Dr. Pimple
Popper.
That's
right.
And now a procedure being undertaken will have him out the rest until the season starts.
So, obviously, he's dropped in most ADPs and...
Anyway, I would think so.
I mean, he was drafted in the second round in our Dynasty League. I was shocked.
Yes. Yeah, him and who was the other guy that went in the second round?
Nick Chubb.
And the only problem is you never know what's going to happen with a rookie running back in New England. Right?
Well, especially in New England because of Belichick.
Yeah, he just doesn't like it.
Well, he just doesn't know who he wants to play, and he just outthinks himself, it seems like.
Whoever doesn't piss me off.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're the guy.
You're the guy.
In a happy one about for me, Dalvin Cook is ready to go. After tearing his ACL last season.
Even though he did not play today.
Yep. Normally, he hasn't played at all. I mean, he was in the warm-ups, but he didn't get dressed.
Well, I thought he played.
Which is sad.
Oh.
Normally, you want to tone down the optimism for a running back that is coming off an ACL tear. However, Cook has been ahead of schedule all offseason and through training camp. He looks to pick up right where he left off last year. And for me, you know what that means? Championship.
Okay. So, and I'm, you know me, I'm the guy that goes back to it all the time.
Right.
Start over league. Where do you, second round?
Dalvin Cook?
Yeah.
Yeah, early to mid second round.
Early to, okay.
Right. I don't know if he, 12 team, right?
Yep.
Is he a first rounder?
Ooh. Maybe with a 12 team. He is.
In first rounder, like if you're number 12 and you're getting him on the,
yep,
on the comeback.
Get, yeah, comeback.
On the reach around.
There.
Oh. Denver Broncos wide receiver Jordan Taylor is reportedly not close to making it back to the field for the Broncos, even though head coach Vance Joseph is saying that he is making progress. She's making progress.
She'll be fine.
Unless something big changes, you cannot even count on Taylor making the 53-man roster this season. And that is with the Broncos looking to keep 5 or 6 receivers. If you can't make the roster with a guy keeping 6 receivers.
Yeah, you're a bad receiver.
Speaking of poor guys, Jesse James.
What's wrong with Jesse?
Looks like Vance McDonald is going to be listed as a starting tight end for that team.
Well, I told you that.
And that's assuming he's returned 100% from his foot injury. Big fantasy season for Mr. Vance McDonald. Who I took in the CFFL draft.
Of course, because you listen to me.
Ding, ding, ding. There's still no word as to whether... Well, we already did that one. That was a Josh Gordon story.
Okay.
What's next? Oh, boy. I wasn't ready for this. I may have to put... may have put too much hope in the Martavis Bryant basket for this year.
Oh.
Word out of Oakland is that he is just not grasping the playbook, much like Michael Vick when he was drafted.
That's not good.
Guess sometimes being a super freak athlete with amazing size, speed, and athleticism doesn't always win out if you don't know the plays and aren't showing the willingness to learn them. You still like Martavis? You never liked Martavis.
I never liked Martavis Bryant. And
I like me a little Martavis. I hope he does something this
but
year.
With where you drafted him.
Yes.
I mean...
He was a keeper.
Oh, I'm talking about in the Cheddarhead League. I'm sorry, you drafted him.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
See, that's one I don't remember. That must have been in one of those 1-6 round when the thing wasn't working right.
Oh, it was pretty late.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Martavis Bryant in a start over league, to me, is not worth anything.
Late?
I'd say 10 on. I don't care.
And now the story everyone is wanting to hear. Darius Geis tore his ACL in the first game of the preseason for the Redskins. Injury is going to have many fantasy owners scrambling as for what to do. It happened in our draft, in fact. It cost me both of the guys I was looking at with my first-round pick in our keeper league. I was looking at taking either Geis or Jordan Howard. When Geis went down, not only did I lose him as my first pick in the round one at number three, but I also lost Jordan Howard, who went right before my pick.
And I was shocked that he went two.
Oh, pissed me off. I got stuck with
Kerryon
Johnson, which might be better, hopefully.
I think you'll be fine, right? I think you'll be happy with that pick. I like Kerryon better than the guy you drafted first in when you moved up. I like him better
than... You like him better than Royce Freeman?
Yes, most definitely.
We might have to write this down. This might be a rainbow.
I'm not in that much love with him, okay. But I just...
This might have to be our question of the week.
Ooh, yeah.
Who's going to have the better rookie season?
Kerryon
Johnson or Royce Freeman? Check out the website once I update that sumbitch and get your answers in. Speaking of rookie running backs, can we all just please settle down with comparing Saquon Barkley as the next Emmitt Smith? Yes, he had a very nice 37-yard run on his first carry, but...
What did he do after that?
We forget his next three rushes were for a total of 6 yards. Another rookie performance that was even more spectacular than Barkley's, but received little press, was my guy, Detroit rookie Kerryon Johnson.
He had a good game.
Ran for 34 yards and caught another 33 yards. He also had a beautiful 57-yard run that was called back with an offensive holding penalty. Week one looked good for Kerryon Johnson. His ADP right now is holding around running back 30 in most 12-team PPRs. So that's what? Late second, early third? News out of Denver training camp is this. Royce Freeman could very well be the primary back soon.
Everything I hear is Devin Booker is going to be starting.
Looking extremely adequate in training camp.
Devontae
Booker.
Okay.
While Freeman has not been disappointing both during training camp or the preseason. Still a few weeks to go, but is looking quite good for all the Royce Freeman owners out there. Me, one. Fantasy football land. Whether or not Carson Wentz is ready to go for week one may still be up in the air right now. But either way, Alshon Jeffrey is still not a lock to be ready for week one either. He remains on the PUP list after his rotator cuff surgery. The timing of the surgery after the Super Bowl could well mean he will not make the first week of the season and that he would open up the season on the PUP list. And if that is true, he will be out at least the first 6 weeks of the Eagles season.
Ooh, that's not good.
Because he did not make it back in time, so it looks like he's going to be gone for the first 6 weeks.
I have Alshon in my Dynasty League, and he's like my number two wide receiver, so I'm hurting.
Ooh. And maybe this is why Henry took Geronimo Allison in the first round. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette is reporting, Geronimo Allison has quietly established himself as the team's number three receiver. You buying that? Or do you think it's still going to be someone else?
I think it's still going to be somebody else.
Who?
I think it may be one of the rookies.
Jamon Moore?
No. No, not Jamon. Maybe Valdez.
Valdez? Valdez Scantling?
Yes.
Anyways, Geronimo Allison's current ADP, according to most fantasy sites, is wide receiver 54 in your 12-team PPRs. Seattle running back Rashad Penny underwent successful finger surgery this past Wednesday. And it's also reported by ESPN's Ian Rappaport that Penny is likely to miss some time during the regular season starting missing week one or so. Seahawks are saying the timetable for Penny's return is roughly 3 to 5 weeks.
Are you on the Penny bandwagon?
No.
So if you're drafting any Seahawk, it's going to be
Chris Carson.
Chris Carson.
The guy with the broken leg from last year?
Yeah.
Speaking of... more bad news for the Eagles. Nick Foles left the second preseason game yesterday. early for the Eagles with a strained shoulder after the Patriots ripped the ball out of his hands during the play. Like I mentioned earlier, the Eagles are only calling it a strain, but this is something you're going to need to watch.
Hey, the Packers got a quarterback they could trade him, maybe. Like a Brent Hundley or Deshaun Kizer?
Oh, Brent Hundley. No, not Deshaun Kizer. I think it's going to be Rodgers, Kizer, and Boyle.
It has to be. I don't think they want to give up a chance on Boyle.
Yeah, I don't think they want to try cutting him and hopefully landing him on the...
Yeah.
The same thing will happen with the guy that they had last year.
Yeah, Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. So with that...
Are we moving to our next segment?
Want to move to Say What?
Say What?
All right, hang on. Here we go.
Say What? Stay off the weed.
Say What?
So consider yourself sucked.
There's three quarterbacks in this football team. Whichever one starts, starts. Whichever one's don't, we'll back him up. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you.
They just can't do that.
It sounds so cool, though, when they do.
Anyways, it's time for Say What, our little thing where Dan's going to read you a quote, and normally I tell you what the guy is actually thinking. But this week we're going to do it a little different because I only have two of them out there.
Right.
So instead of saying what they're thinking, we're going to actually make this informative for you, we hope. We're both going to kind of tell you, like...
What we think?
Yeah. What we think. Like, do you think... like, when you read the first one.
Okay.
Okay.
Carson Wentz said... It will be close. I obviously want to be out there. That's been my goal all off season ever since the injury. It's going to be close. I'm still eyeing the date. Oh, that date. At the end of the day, it's just not my decision. There's coaches and doctors that really have the final say. I really like where I'm at, and time will tell here.
So what's the question we should answer?
Okay. Do you think fantasy owners should be counting on Carson Wentz for week one?
Here's the problem I have with Carson Wentz. If he's being serious, and it really is close as to whether or not he's going to be ready to play.
Right.
I think you should bench him for week one.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, he's the franchise for the Eagles.
But now...
And you just don't take chances right. with that.
But how bad is Nick Foles hurt? I mean,
well, from what I heard today,
she's
making progress. She'll be fine.
Okay.
It was just a little strained shoulder.
I just was, if the Foles thing was a little bit worse.
Plus, you need Foles to start.
Exactly.
Eagles have the highest paid backup quarterback who just happens to be the current NFL Super Bowl MVP. You can take Carson Wentz and let him sit for a week.
Right.
Bottom line is this. Wentz's long-term availability is more important to the Eagles than whether or not he misses the first week of the season. Correct?
Right, correct. Are you thinking, when do you think he should come? I mean.
Well, and that's assumed. Well, and we're just talking, is he going to be ready for week
right.
one?
As a fantasy owner, you wouldn't start him, obviously, week one, even if he does play. Okay, here.
Well, if he plays, I'm going to play him.
Okay, then.
If I have him, if they're going to start him week one, I'm going to play him. I'm talking, I don't think the Eagles should be starting him. Oh. I think the Eagles should.
Well, I guess I'm just looking at your questions. You said, should fantasy owners count on Carson Wentz week one?
And I'm saying no, unless they're saying they're going to start him.
Okay, so.
I'm saying that the Eagles shouldn't, if he's close to being ready, but not 100%. Like, if he doesn't play in any preseason games.
Right.
He's sitting for at least 1 week.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, if Philly doesn't play him at all in preseason, and he starts week one as a fantasy owner, I'm not
going to
play him.
Oh, if he's starting, well, again, it depends who my second quarterback is.
Well,
I mean, if I have a Jameis Winston who's not playing.
Like I do.
then Carson's going to get the start.
Okay.
But now, like I said, there's an added bonus for you as to why you want Nick Foles out there. You still have a 75-1 bet out there.
Oh, I do.
That Foles starts for a team this season. You need that.
That could help me out quite a bit in the money situation.
Next quote.
Oh, okay. When asked about the starting quarterback position,
that was a good one.
Browns head coach Hugh Jackson said, "I have not changed. I'm not going to change. Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback here, and Baker is the future of our organization." So, what do you think Hugh really means by this?
It doesn't make any sense to me. I watch him in these games,
right,
and he is clearly showing things that the other quarterbacks, rookies, some veterans, even Tyrod Taylor, that they're not showing. I mean,
who?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, okay.
I mean, obviously the Browns have this plan to just let Baker sit on the bench and soak in something during the season. But I just can't believe that if the preseason continues the way week one and week two are going,
right,
you can't put Baker on the bench and not have him be your starting quarterback. Right?
So you say he should be...
I think he should be the starting quarterback in Cleveland.
Really?
For some reason, I think Hugh Jackson believes that he has more than just this year to do something with this team. And I think he's nuts. I mean, there's a new GM that didn't hire Hugh Jackson.
Right.
Right.
The new GM drafted Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield isn't going anywhere, but Hugh Jackson could. Like, fired.
Oh, I think if Cleveland doesn't win the 5 or 6 games that they should, I think he was done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's what?
Do you think he's done?
He's 1-61? No, 1-31.
Yeah.
1-31, and he still has a job, and he's not putting his best quarterback out there.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I can double my wins. Although, I mean, all those things tell me that he wants to remain the head coach.
Right.
And that he thinks the best option would be to start the quarterback.
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I think he should start Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod, yeah. Oh, definitely. Let Baker sit.
Have you watched Tyrod Taylor during the preseason?
I don't have NFL channel.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, Cam Newton's more accurate than Tyrod Taylor. And that's not saying a lot.
Okay.
I mean, you brought in a guy to be the fantasy, your franchise quarterback. If you're a guy who's 1-31 and the new GM who didn't hire you brought in that quarterback, that's the guy you should be considering playing right now.
Okay, but here's my point. I'll agree. Tyrod did not have a good game the other night.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield didn't like
light it up
either, and on the second string.
But he still went better than Tyrod Taylor.
Barely.
I still think, I might be giving Hugh Jackson too much credit. I think they're playing with everybody. I think they're trying to get everybody thinking that Tyrod's going to be the guy, but I think Baker's going to be starting the season.
Week one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think I might. That might have to be
another. We have our one about Sam Darnold.
Oh yeah, then maybe we might have to have a rainbow bet on that.
And then you had this. I didn't even have this on your quote thing. Here's some more wisdom from Hugh Jackson. He was then asked if Baker would be the backup to Tyrod, and Jackson had the balls to say, "He's not sure if the team would play Mayfield or Drew Stanton if Tyrod Taylor got injured."
I heard that.
And then everybody wonders, how did he only win one game?
It's a miracle.
He got lucky. So, that's it for Say What, and you know what that means? Should we go into the bar first?
And then?
Or should we do one more thing?
Let's do one more thing.
Because you might want to drink after that?
I'm a lot.
Okay. Here comes one more thing, the final end-all, be-all to the national anthem debate.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Here we go.
Just one more thing.
That's right. It's time for one more thing. And I know we haven't done one of these in a while, but I thought it is time to finally wrap up all this out-of-hand protesting that is going on in the NFL.
It is going to do nothing but destroy the best sport in the United States if it should continue. Unfortunately, the players involved in the protesting still do not understand why everyone is so upset with the actions they take. On top of that, the players themselves, as well as the talking heads on most sports shows nowadays, are sending out false narratives as to what the protests are all about. I have contended since day one, since the day Colin Kaepernick sat his overpaid ass on the bench during the national anthem, that Colin Kaepernick has no idea what it is he is even protesting about. To this day, that belief of mine proves itself true every time a reporter talks to one of these guys who is protesting or a well-meaning NFL star makes a speech. Hell, Colin Kaepernick won't even discuss the protests anymore for fear, in my opinion, that he will be exposed as the sham he truly is when it comes to these high-minded protests. All you'll see Colin Kaepernick doing now is accepting meaningless awards from like-minded people who he preys on him for standing up for whatever it is that he is standing up for. Think I'm off base? Well, here are some facts that back me up. The media and the NFL stars, especially those in Philadelphia, will have you believe that the President of the United States canceled the customary visit to the White House after their Super Bowl victory on accounts that the Philadelphia Eagles were protesting during the 2017 season. Even Snopes.com, the site that likes to debunk news stories and other current event topics, called the claim that the Philadelphia Eagles knelt during the national anthem throughout the 2017 season as a fact that was reported. They even tried to accuse the president of canceling the White House visit because of the Eagles kneeling during their protest. Now, this claim of mostly false by Snopes.com would be fine as long as the premise they were working off of was actually what was reported by anyone in the media or the White House. Here are the facts. Number one, Fox News showed a picture of the Eagles kneeling on the field in prayer during warm-ups prior to a game in one of their reports on NFL player protesting. Never did Fox News say the Eagles depicted the team kneeling in protest. The president, this is number two, the president and his White House were being blamed for canceling the Eagles' visit to the White House due to their protesting. Again, a great story if it were true, but like much of our mainstream fake news media, it is just wrong. Here's what really happened. According to White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the Eagles notified the White House on Thursday that 81 people would attend the event, which was scheduled for that next Tuesday. A group of 1,000 Eagles fans also were scheduled to be part of the ceremony. The Eagles then attempted to reschedule the event. According to Press Secretary Sanders, they wanted to reschedule it to dates that the president was already scheduled to be out of town. She said, quote, "The White House, despite sensing a lack of good faith, nonetheless attempted to work with the Eagles over the weekend to change the event format that could accommodate a smaller group of players." She continued, "Unfortunately, the Eagles offered to send only a tiny handful of representatives while making it clear that the great majority of players would not attend the event, despite planning to be in D.C. that day anyway." In other words, the vast majority of Eagles teammates decided to abandon their fans. In fact, here's the whole statement released by President Trump of the White House. "The Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to celebrate tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. The Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. These fans are still invited to the White House to be part of a different type of ceremony, one that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem. I will be there at 3 p.m. with the United States Marine Band and the United States Army Corps to celebrate America." Nowhere in that press release does the president accuse the Eagles of kneeling. All he said is that the Eagles disagreed with his stance that the players should stand and show respect during the national anthem. Do not forget, the Eagles are one of the teams that did protest throughout the entire 2017 season, not by kneeling, but instead by tweets that they posted and a standing on the sideline with their fist raised high in the air. Granted, not every player showed the disrespect that the few players showed, but the saying is never truer than it is in this instance. A few bad apples spoil a bunch. It doesn't end there, though. This past week were the first preseason games for the NFL, and there were still some attention-grabbing NFL stars that felt the need to protest for some reason during the national anthem. Go figure, one of those guys is the same guy who is bad-mouthing his president. You know him as Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles. He showed up to the game in a t-shirt that read, "More than 60% of prison's population are people of colors, are people of color." Apparently, this is supposed to make everyone feel like the people of color are being treated unfairly. Let me ask Mr. Jenkins, do you really believe that people of color are being picked up off the street and thrown into prison? We're talking about prison, not even jail. This is prison, where the hardcore criminals go. Are we supposed to believe that those people in prison are picked up off the street at random just because they are of color? How stupid do you think people really are? I don't think Malcolm Jenkins even believes what he was wearing on his t-shirt that day. Here's an idea for you, Malcolm. Instead of raising your fist and disrespecting the flag and all of those men and women who defend it, why not go out and get in the face of all these people of color and get it into their heads that they shouldn't be committing crimes that are going to get them locked up in prison? It's not even going to cost you very much of your hard-earned money to do that. Next, and this is where it all comes to a head, this is where the people look at these NFL players and say they have no friggin' idea what they're even talking about or what they are apparently protesting. The craziness spilled over to the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony where Randy Moss, the all-around good citizen, showed up to give his induction speech wearing a tie that had the names of 12 black men and women who were, in his opinion, killed by police or died in police custody. He is now all upset because he is getting hate mail for wearing that tie. This is just another example of these guys acting before thinking about what it is they're doing. Let's go over some of the names on the tie, shall we? We start with Greg Gunn. Officer Aaron Cody Smith shot Gunn after Gunn fled a random stop and frisk just after 3 a.m. And as we always say on this podcast, nothing good happens after midnight. Prior to the shooting, Gunn was tased and beaten in an attempt to subdue him. The belief is that Gunn ran because he had an outstanding warrant from three charges in 2008. Toxicology reports also showed that Gunn was under the influence of cocaine. Gunn also had a crack pipe in his possession. The police are also saying that Gunn, after being chased, was swinging a six-foot painting pole at the police officers. Officer Smith said he only stopped Gunn because of a rash of burglaries in the area. Gunn matched the description of a burglary suspect, dark clothing, black male, and was walking between 1 and 5 a.m., the time when most burglaries happen. Next, Tamir Rice. Tamir was fatally shot by police officers in Cleveland after a 911 call of a person waving and pointing a gun at people in a park was made. Video shows Tamir Rice drawing the pellet gun, which looks exactly like a real handgun, from his waistband when he was shot. The final report said that there was no reason for the officers to know that the handgun was a toy and that the officer was correct in fearing for his life. The next one, this is one name where I don't even understand why it's on Randy Moss's tie, because it doesn't show police brutality, it doesn't show police getting away with anything, and it doesn't show black people being targeted and killed by uncaring white police officers. However, the name's on his tie. Akai Gurley. Akai was killed in 2016. A New York City police officer was convicted of manslaughter after Akai Gurley was hit with a ricocheting bullet in the stairway of the apartment building he lived in. The officer and his partner were conducting a vertical patrol inside the apartment building when the officer opened the door into an unlighted stairwell and his gun went off. The bullet glanced off a wall and hit Kai Gurley in the heart. This wasn't even an instance where a black man was being targeted by an uncaring white police officer. It was a complete accident where Gurley was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't even understand how the black community can be upset over this. But the names continue. Paul O'Neill. 18-year-old Paul O'Neill was fatally shot after he tried to flee police in, get this, a stolen Jaguar convertible on a residential street. O'Neill was ultimately shot and killed during an ensuing foot chase. The shooting was ruled as justified because the officer reasonably believed that in the chaos that preempted the shooting, O'Neill had a gun and had already fired shots at the police. That belief, although not true, and the shooting officer was suspended for 6 months. The other two officers that shot at O'Neill while he was running in a stolen car were recommended for firing. Eric Garner, New York, is the next name. New York Police Department officers approached Garner on suspicion of selling single cigarettes from packs without tax stamps. After Garner told the police that he was tired of being harassed and that he was not selling cigarettes, the officers went to arrest Garner. When Officer Daniel Pantaleo tried to take Garner's wrist behind his back, Garner pulled his arms away. Pantaleo then put his arm around Garner's neck and took him down onto the ground. After Pantaleo removed his arm from Garner's neck, he pushed the side of Garner's face into the ground while four officers moved to restrain Garner, who repeated, "I can't breathe," 11 times while lying face down on the sidewalk. You'll remember Garner. This is the guy that all the protesting mobs like to walk the streets with their hands in the air saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." Next name, Freddie Gray. He was arrested while with an illegal knife in his possession. While being transported to jail, he fell into a coma and died with injuries to his spinal cord. This is the story where the black community will have you believe that the police officers gave Freddie Gray a rough ride to the jail and that the officer driving the van should be charged with second-degree murder. Well, he was, along with the other eight officers. Six of the nine officers were found not guilty, and the remaining three officers had their charges dropped. Reports and witnesses state that the injuries suffered by Gray were actually sustained by himself during the ride as he continually threw himself into the walls of the transport back first during the transport to the jail. Alton Sterling. Sterling was shot at close range by two officers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The officers were attempting to control Sterling's arms, and Sterling was shot by them after repeatedly reaching for the gun in his pocket. Police were responding to a report that a man in a red shirt was selling CDs and that he had used a gun to threaten a man outside a convenience store. Next name, Michael Brown. This is the one that started it all. This is the one that made cops bad guys and made the poor black man an innocent bystander. Michael Brown was walking with a friend in the center of a two-way road and was fatally shot by Officer Darren Wilson. Darren Wilson was a 28-year-old white police officer. Brown was accompanied by his friend Dorian Johnson, who was 22. Wilson said that the altercation ensued when Brown attacked Wilson in his police vehicle for control of Wilson's gun until it was fired. Brown and Johnson then fled. With Wilson in pursuit of Brown, Wilson stated that Brown stopped, turned around, and charged him after the short pursuit. Also missing from this story is the fact that Brown had just robbed a convenience store prior to the altercation with the officer. The officer didn't even know about the theft prior to the altercation. Now, I could continue to finish with the names on Randy Moss's tie, but it's getting long, and I don't think it's even necessary. Other than the Kai Gurley incident, which, although sad, shouldn't even be on the tie because it was a mistake by a police officer, every other incident could have been prevented if only the perp in question would have followed the directions of the police rather than continuing to act the fool. Which brings us to the crux of the whole matter. The protests by the NFL players look right now like they're going to continue until the NFL finally gets some stones and lays down the law and prohibits the protests from happening before, during, or immediately following any NFL game. As I've pointed out, the NFL has the law on their side. Yes, we have a First Amendment right to free speech. However, that right does not protect you from exercising it while you're at work. I have always told you that the constitutional rights are there to protect us from the government's infringement of those rights on us or against us. They are not there to protect you from your boss making rules that may go against your belief that your constitutional rights are being infringed upon. Like I have said numerous times, I have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. However, if I show up at my place of work with my legally holstered firearm, I would be fired from my job. Doesn't that go against my constitutional rights? Yes, but the fact remains, I am at a place of business where the owner of that business has the right to make their own rules as to what can and cannot go on inside that business. For example, any BW3 restaurant that you walk into, as you are walking through that front door, you will see a sign on that front door that says, weapons and handguns are not allowed in this place of business. Does that go against your rights? Yes, but it's a private business, and they can make the rules that they want to make that will tell you what you can and can't do inside that business. Finally, like him or not, and frankly, I cannot imagine why anyone wouldn't like him, but President Trump came out after the first week of NFL preseason games and tweeted his displeasure with the continued protesting by NFL players. The president said, "The NFL players are at it again, taking a knee when they should be standing proudly for the national anthem. Numerous players from different teams wanted to show their outrage at something that most of them are unable to define." So true. "They make a fortune doing what they love. Be happy. Be cool. A football game that fans are paying so much money to watch and enjoy is no place to protest. Most of that money goes to the players anyway. Find another way to protest. Stand proudly for your national anthem or be suspended without pay." President Trump couldn't be more correct, and the majority of Americans agree with him. Unfortunately, the NFL, in my opinion, doesn't have the balls to do what President Trump suggests.
All right, I got that off my chest.
Bravo.
You need a drink?
Are you sure you don't need a drink?
I'll wait for dinner, I think. We are in the club. It's time for the Fantasy Girl of the Week. Dan's chance to guess the measurements of yet another hot star in television, movies, music, or modeling. This week, check out our Fantasy Girl of the Week on the website, mycffl.com. Go to the Fantasy Girl page and take a look. She is Ruby Rose. You know who she is?
I have no idea who this is.
She was born March 20th, 1986 in Melbourne, Australia, where she's a model, DJ, recording artist, and actress. You will be able to see her coming up in the soon-to-be-released movie, Batwoman.
Is she?
She's going to be the lesbian Batwoman.
Oh.
Rose is the daughter of a single mother. She traveled frequently, living in rural Victoria, Tasmania, and Surfer's Paradise before finally settling in Melbourne. Rose came out as a lesbian when she was 12. Because of this, she suffered verbal taunts and physical abuse from her classmates, which led to a suicide attempt.
Ooh, that sucks.
She was also sexually abused as a child by a relative. She also has bipolar clinical depression. Perfect for Batwoman.
This chick's got a lot of tattoos.
Rose said she always wanted to be a boy while growing up and that she was saving money to physically transform from female to male. She says that modeling led her to discover androgyny and allowed her to model with different gender expressions. She now considers herself gender fluid. In 2014, I thought you were going to say something.
I'm speechless right now.
In 2014, Rose announced her engagement to fashion designer Phoebe Dahl, which ended in 2015. She is, of course, vegan.
Of course.
And says that people who want to help address climate change should consider what they are eating. How that happens, I have no idea.
Yeah, what was that?
But hey.
Hey.
They're crazy because they need more protein.
I'm shocked you have her on here.
I know. I was going to put her on because she was going to be the next Batwoman, and then I started reading her bio, and I'm like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this.
I'm shocked. I really am shocked that you have. I mean, beautiful.
Ruby Rose, the next Batwoman, stands 5'7" tall. She weighs 128 pounds.
Yeah.
She has dark brown hair. Light green eyes, which I'm sure will help you with your measurements.
Yeah, that's definitely.
She wears a size 4 dress.
Yeah, I can see that.
And her measurements are.
She's an A cup. And I'm going to say she's probably a 34A.
32B.
Oh, there's no way she's a B.
She's actually a 34, but her bra size is 32B.
Okay. I can see the 30. Yeah.
Waist.
At 25?
25 is exactly right. Oh, shit. We don't have the bell. And her hips.
I'm going 36.
35.
Ooh.
32B, 25, 35.
She looks like she could actually kick my ass.
Yeah, she probably could. Ruby Rose, everybody, your fantasy girl of the week. Check her out on website, mycffl.com, mycffl.com. That's it for this week. Again, we're going to be starting pretty soon with our weekly podcast now that the football season is just upon us. You got questions, comments, concerns, or you want to get involved in the Beat the Host coming up, email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or Dan at...
Strap at 19...
Start that over. Or Dan at...
Strap1971@yahoo.com.
And don't forget, we also have our new thing, our comment line. Feel free to give us a call, leave us a comment on the answering machine, and
I cannot wait.
We'll
for
play
this.
It if we get any.
I cannot wait.
414-520-8249. Remember, it is a family show.
We do have some clever listeners out there, so I'm really looking forward to this.
We do take some swearing, but let's not get crazy.
Let's not pull a Jarvis Landry though.
Exactly. We don't need 45 seconds of 36 swears. So that's it for this week, everybody. Until next time, be good.
Bye-bye.